the riches of the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Here's the secret. Here's the big news. Here's the big mystery revealed. Christ lives inside you. Inside you. Jewish people, Gentile people, ugly people, good-looking people, skinny people, fat people, tall people, short people, it doesn't matter. White skin, black skin, brown skin, red skin, it doesn't matter. We all are just people, and we all have this potential of being saved. And once we're saved, Christ lives inside of us. What's going to radically change your life? It's not the church externally pressuring you to be something or do something. What's going to change your life is when Jesus Christ lives inside of you and internally he converts you to where his nature now flows out of you automatically. That's what changes us. Too many times in church and religion, we're doing an external in thing instead of an internal out thing, right? And I still do that even though I know better. It's my default, and I hate it. And I got to change that. I got to renew my mind because Jesus Christ lives inside of me, and what he wants to do is internally convert me, internally change me, change my heart, change my spirit, kill the old me, give me a new me, and then let that live out through me. That's what he wants for you and I both. That's what he wants for us. So the mystery, the secret, how can this be? Because Jesus lives inside of us. That's how this can be. The problem is it's still mysterious to a lot of people. We're still trying to do the external thing. We're still trying to do the rule thing. We're still trying to get a visitation from God, trying to earn favor, trying to earn a visitation. We pray for revival. We pray for God to come down. We pray for God to show up. We pray for God to move. We pray all these prayers. I pray them too. But he's already here. Revival's present. Everything you need is inside you. God is inside of you. We're going to read some more verses that expand on that. A lot of verses today, and the reason there's a lot of verses today is because we don't naturally think this way, and we need the Word of God to change our thinking. We need the Word of God to change our thinking. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now we're talking about this relationship with God, the church, and you and I as Christians. We are built on a foundation, and Jesus is this chief cornerstone of this foundation, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You're being created into the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God living inside of you. God lives in you. And Paul is telling us here in Ephesians, there is foundational stuff. And Jesus is this chief cornerstone. But if you miss the fact that you're created to be the habitation of the Spirit, you're missing the most important thing. You're supposed to experience God in you all day, every day. That's why sometimes in Christianity we'll pompously say, I have a relationship, not a religion. It's true, but if we're not careful, we arrogantly say that to a bunch of people that we're judging have only a religion and not a relationship. But the simple fact is that if you're a Christian, and if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, he lives inside of you, and you have a relationship with him. And I know the context of that statement is, we're not doing external religious stuff trying to please God or connect with God. We have a relationship with him all day, every day. He lives inside of us. I understand that context, but if we're not careful, we say that pompously and even religiously if we're not careful. But we do have a relationship, not a religion. We do. We can go back into the Old Testament where God's working on Israel and he's fed up with them, and they keep going back into idolatry and back into idolatry and back into idolatry, and he finally says, we're not doing this anymore. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to take out that old, cold, hard heart of flesh, and I'm going to give you a brand new heart. And Israel's never got into idolatry since then. It's kind of cool when you look at the history of the nation. Before that, out and in, out and in, out and in, out and in, until God says, what was it, Ezekiel somewhere, where he just says, okay, I'm changing this whole way I'm dealing with you. I'm taking that old messy heart out of you, and I'm giving you a brand new heart. That's kind of a forerunning of what he did in Jesus with us. He takes that old messy stuff out of us and he gives us a brand new life, a brand new heart, a brand new relationship, a brand new experience with him. So we're supposed to be being built into a habitation of God through the Spirit. You and I, we're the habitat. We're the habitat. And God lives in us. We have Habitat for Humanity. We have scientists that are really interested in saving the habitat so frogs can survive falling off of sticks and stuff, you know. And we have people that really, if you mess up the habitat, that thing dies, and then that thing dies, and then that thing evolves, and whatever. You know, they're thinking about the habitat stuff. But do you know you are the habitat of God, and he lives inside of you? That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. He's not ashamed of you. He's not avoiding you. He's not withdrawing from you. He lives inside of you. This is the kingdom of God. It's within you. It's within you. What does that mean? And these aren't in your notes, but in John chapter 16, Jesus says, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. And you need him. Jesus was referring to the fact that when he was here in his physical body, he could only be in one place at one time. But the world needed the Holy Spirit. The world needed God present in every one of us at all times, everywhere on the planet. He says, it's expedient, it is critical that I go back into the heavens, because when I go, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and you are his habitat. He wants to inhabit you. He's going to be inside of you. He's going to lead you. He's going to teach you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to empower you. But you know the cool thing about Christianity is God is inside of you now. Now. You can look at your neighbor and go, I knew there was something cool about you. God's inside of you. That should totally blow away this uneasiness that God's unhappy with us and God doesn't accept us and God is displeased with us all the time. That should blow away those concepts. God chooses to inhabit you and to dwell inside of you. There should be a confidence that comes with that. There should be a joy and a peace that comes with that. The ramifications of God inside of you should be, man, we got this. Everything I need's inside of me. God's with me. When we were listening to the Bible miniseries and watching that on TV, what, a year and a half ago or so, and every show, it repeated this phrase, God is with us. God would visit them and help them overcome or get through a big problem, and their phrase was, God is with us. But God doesn't visit us occasionally in our worst times and get us over the hump anymore. He is with us all the time. That's better. Habitation's better than visitation. Lots better. Lots better. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know? Don't you know that you're the temple of God? Well, if I could just get to this certain temple, there's something there I could connect with. You know, there's a lot of New Age nonsense in our world today. They build these temples, whether it's Hindu temples or Buddhist temples or shrines of whatever kind. And if you can go to that temple and connect there on that amazing spot with some amazing spirit, they think, then you can have enlightenment or whatever. You are the temple of God. This church is not the temple of God. I've been here during the week. It's not that cool. It's not that cool. That's why we call this an auditorium and not a sanctuary. You know where the sanctuary is? Right here. And I agree, you should honor the sanctuary. You should honor the presence of God. But that's you. That's you. Now, when we come together in the church, there's a corporate presence of God. And God loves to do things corporately. And He shows up in special ways when we're together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That doesn't mean He's absent, because He's not absent, He lives in us. It just means that corporately He shows up and He does body corporate things with us together. In the book of Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the assembling together of the saints, and even much more so as the day approaches. So as we get closer to the end of the earth, the end of time, we should get together even more corporately, even more. But you're the temple. Do you not know that you're the temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Well, I think I'm gonna hide this little sin from God. No, He's inside you. This bad word, this bad thought, I know I'm going to hide it. He's inside you. Well, maybe God didn't see this. What do you mean He didn't see it? He was there with you when you did it. He's there with you when you think it. You can't get away from Him. Why would you want to? Right? Why would you want to get away from the presence of the Creator, your Savior? Why would you want to get away? David talked about it in the Psalms. Man, if I make my bed in hell, He's there. If I rise to the highest height, He's there. I just can't get away from Him. And that was in the Old Testament. Think what he would say with this habitation thing going on inside of him. It's highly beneficial for you and I to have the Spirit of God living inside of us. It's highly beneficial. I think even when we talk about sin, He's there with us. He's present when it's going on. And he doesn't walk away from us. He doesn't leave us. We can grieve him, and he's sorrowful that that's going on. A lot of times he's just sorrowful that we're suffering, and or we were tricked, or we were confused, or whatever. And then he just works to heal us and forgive us and restore us, because that's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he does. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 in the Message Bible, I'll read that on my phone here for you. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. Remember last week we said it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom? He parcels out all of heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. God's really not interested in you and I brute strengthening something, just gutting it out. He's not interested in you working as hard as you can to just self-discipline yourself, grit your teeth, get through the hard stuff and make it. He's not really in it. He says, come on, you can't do it on your own, but I'm present with you. And my Spirit inside of you is this glorious inner strength that I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to get you to recognize and acknowledge this. Verse 17, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. Where's Christ going to live? In you as you open the door and let him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Do you know that? What's the benefit of having God in you? If he lives in you and he can do anything, that's pretty cool potential for you. That's pretty cool potential for you. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And some of you have some wild dreams. But far more than your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. See, this change that God wants for you and I, it's not him being all-powerful and pushing us around and forcing us and manipulating us and intimidating us. That's what Satan does. That's not what God does. God says, let me change you. Let me get inside you. Let me convert you. Let me give you my nature. Let me give you my heart. Let me give you my vision. Let me give you my compassion. And then when that stuff is inside of you, it works out into a beautiful thing. But if inside of you is insecurity and fear and always looking over your shoulder and always trying to do it yourself, if that's what's inside of you, it also comes out. It just looks really ugly. Don't point at anybody. It looks really ugly when that stuff comes out, doesn't it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? You've been to a family reunion, right? Have you seen it? You've been to a Little League baseball game. You've seen it. You've seen this stuff. You ever watch Judge Judy? I mean, you've seen it. It comes out. But if you get the good stuff inside you, if you get God inside you, what amazing, beautiful potential. And see, he's going to change you, but he's not going to coerce and manipulate and intimidate you and strong-arm you. He's simply going to move inside of you and begin changing you from the inside out. If God's kingdom was of this world, he would force the world to do it all his way. And in the book of Revelation, he's going to do that. He's going to once and for all get rid of evil and force the world to do it his way. He's going to, but that's not what he does today. Today he moves inside and he changes our world one heart at a time, one person at a time. And I hope you let him do that with you. I hope that you understand the key to the kingdom. One of those keys is we have a habitation relationship with God. And it's his good pleasure to give us his kingdom. And he's giving us internally, changing us, growing us. That's cool. That's amazing. That's awesome stuff. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want you to let me in." If I'm on the outside, so what's God doing if you're not a Christian today? What's God doing? He's standing at your heart's door knocking. "Hey, Kelly, let me in." He doesn't have a SWAT team standing outside counting to three, getting ready to break the door down. He's knocking. "Let me in. If you let me in, I will come into you. I will sup with you. I will dine with you." Man, I'm just thinking, what does that mean? Jesus says, "Hey, I'm knocking. Let me in. And here's my intentions. When I get inside of you, here's my intentions. You and I are going to have dinner together. Maybe it's a potluck. He'll bring some good stuff. I'll bring whatever I have." See, when I go to potlucks, I don't like to eat my own food because I already know how to cook that. And if you guys don't eat it, I got to go home and eat it all week. So when I go to potlucks, I'm going to eat your food. Unless it's bear claws. Because raccoon just don't set well. So if Jesus is going to come knock on my door and say, "Kelly, let me in. I want to have dinner with you." We're going to have fellowship, sweet fellowship around a banqueting table. And I'm going to bring my stuff and you bring your stuff. And we're just going to have this intimate relational dinner together for the rest of your life. I'm up for that. How about you? It's like, let's just take the door off the hinges so he can come in anytime he wants. I don't want to ever lock him out of my life. What a beautiful invitation. And that verse, if you read above it, he's talking to this lukewarm group of people. He's talking to this group of people that they think they got it all together. They think they're spiritual. They think they're cool. They're pretty arrogant. They're pretty selfish. And he says, "I'm knocking at your door. If you'll just let me in, you and I will have this relationship. It's going to be amazing. Just let me in. Just let me in." Before Jesus, everyone lived in a visitation relationship with God, in and out, off and on, all the time. How does your relationship with God go? Is it in and out, off and on, all the time? That's a bummer. If it is, because it shouldn't be. You shouldn't be having a visitation relationship with God. You shouldn't be, "If I can just get to church, boy, then maybe I'll make it through the week. Maybe I'll make it through the month. I just wish we had another revival. I just wish God would move. I just wish God would show up somewhere." If you're looking for a visitation relationship with God, off and on, in and out all the time, you're just living way below your potential. Way below your potential. Jesus came and now we have this habitational relationship. Why do we act like he isn't with us if he's inside of us all the time? Why do you act like God didn't answer your prayer? God isn't with you. God doesn't love you. Why do you act like that if he lives in you all the time? And I know we go through stuff. We just prayed about that, didn't we? We go through stuff, but just because you're going through it doesn't mean you're alone going through it. The cool thing that I love about having God inside of me is I'm never going through it by myself. I'm never just left with my own resources and my own abilities. He's with me all the time. He will be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Man, I've hung on to that anchor. Have you guys hung on to that anchor? It's like, God, this is crazy. It hurts so bad. I am so upset. But you said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. I'm hanging on to you. God, you said you'd never give me more than I could bear. I used to think you said only truth, but this one feels really bad. I'm not sure I can bear this. But you said only what I could bear, so I'm just going to hang on to you. So why do we act like he isn't with us? Why do we act like he doesn't love us? Why do we act like we got to earn his favor, earn his love, earn his smile, earn his blessings? You don't have to earn that stuff. Jesus paid that price, right? Am I right? I know that goes against our religious thinking sometimes. I know it does. We'll talk about sin, and we'll talk about bearing fruit, and we'll talk about selling all and getting the pearl of great price. We'll talk about commitment. We'll talk about all of that in this series. But you need to think about that properly when you think about it. Not in the Old Testament context of visitation, but you need to think about that in the New Testament context of habitation when we talk about those things. So we're going to talk about that. So just hang on. We will talk about that. Why are we asking for revival when he lives in us and we're his dwelling place? How do you seek the Lord when he's always with you? I know it's just, it goes crossways, doesn't it? I seek the Lord. Yeah, you can seek to know him more. You can seek to experience him more, but don't seek him like he's lost and he's not present. He's right there. Train yourself to see God everywhere, in everything, because he's there. He's with you. He's inside of you. Train yourself to trust in him and rely on him and connect with him. Sometimes you just got to calm your own fears, calm your own anger, calm your own anxiety, and connect with the God who lives inside you. Train yourself to see him. He never leaves you. He will never forsake you. Revival is not a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle, not an event. Same thing goes for peace. Peace shouldn't be an event. It should be a lifestyle. Joy shouldn't be an event. It should be a lifestyle. Last week we talked about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It should be a lifestyle of righteousness, peace, and joy. It should be a lifestyle for us because God's present inhabiting us 24/7, all the time. So you are in Christ and Christ is in you. When God looks at you, he smiles because he can see his Son in you. Some of you really need to get the picture of when God looks at you, he smiles. It's not like, oh, there's Kelly. Doesn't look at me like, okay, Kelly, you're like 1 for 20 right now. He doesn't look at me that way. When he looks at me, he smiles and he says, there's my son. When he looks at you, there's my daughter. There's my son. And he's smiling. You need to see God that way. Christ is in you and all of heaven is attracted to you. Do you know that if God is in you, then everything good is attracted to you. It's like you're magnetic for all the good stuff on the planet, because God's inside of you. Some of you think you're magnetic to all the bad stuff. You're not. Get rid of that thought. God lives inside of you, and all of heaven and all that is good is attracted to the God that's inside of you. This makes you a magnet for the favor and the blessing and the provision of God. God doesn't just visit you occasionally when you happen to get it all together or he's feeling extra kind. I think sometimes we... Have you ever had something just all go right? I don't know if anybody golfs or if you have any sporting activity that you do. There's times when you're in the zone. It all just goes right. Maybe you're a motorcycle rider or whatever. There's just times you're in the zone. Maybe you're hunting and it all fits together that one time. Being a pastor, sometimes we have really good services. And I'm just going, so what made that really good and the other ones not so good? If I could learn how to duplicate that really good thing, I would do that all the time. God doesn't just visit you when you happen to get it all together and he says, okay, 8 out of 10 is pretty good. Blessing. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He lives inside of you, ready to bless you and favor you and grow you and take care of you. God takes up his habitation inside of you. The kingdom of God is within you. The power of God is within you. It is. It is. His presence never leaves you. He doesn't pop in and pop out and then come back at a later date. Like, well, God's with Kelly, but he's not with me. No, he's with all of us. All of us. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So how much has he blessed you? With just a couple blessings? Every spiritual blessing. Whatever you need, it's in you. You got it. When you got Jesus, you got it. You got everything you need. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So when did God choose you? When did God love you? When did God say, now that Larry, he's one of my guys? When did God say that? Before the foundation of the world. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to do anything to qualify yourself. Before you were born, 6,000 years, however, if you want to listen to scientists, billions of years ago, whatever, God is eternal, so let's just, how long before the foundation of the world? I mean, as Christians, we think the world's about 6,000 years old currently, in the shape it's in. That's what we think, you know, looking at stuff. But what if the scientists, you know, say billions of years, God's eternal, whatever, whatever. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. He said, now I'm going to live inside that guy. I'm going to live inside that girl. He saw you. He knew your name. He knew you'd be in Kamiyai, Idaho today at the Life Center. Or if you're listening to this on the internet or a CD, he knew you'd be sitting right there listening to this. And he chose you before the foundation of the world. That should make you feel pretty good. Pretty good. You are special, even if you don't ride the short bus. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. That we should be holy and blameless without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, there's a whole bunch of theology in there, but predestination is basically God looked and he saw you and he says, I choose you. You and I have free will, so he knew what we would choose, he knew what we would say, he knew what our decisions would be. We're not robots. He didn't predetermine. But the predestination is really, I predestined to save you. I predestined to give you every opportunity to have me live inside of you. That's my predestination. I made a way. And everybody can walk in that way. That's the predestination, that we would be in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, to the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I love that verse. I love that verse that says you and I are accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus Christ. You and I are accepted in Jesus Christ. And so I've been talking, and maybe you haven't connected the dots, but I've been talking about the fact that he lives inside of you says that he chose you, he favors you, he loves you. You're accepted already because he lives inside you. It's one of the keys of the kingdom. It really tries to get us away from the someday I'll be holy, someday I'll get it all together, someday I'll figure it out, someday I'll have power, someday I'll get over this stuff, someday I'll get a revival, someday. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. He lives in you right now. You're never going to have more of God than you have today if you're a Christian. You're never going to have more of him. Everything you need is there right now. It's cool. It's really cool. I know this is just wordy. I'm trying to find my landing spot here and finish this up for us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. There's that mystery again. According to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we've obtained an inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance with God? If he lives in you, if you're his son and daughter, we go to Romans and say, you are an heir of God, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you have an inheritance. You have a position in Christ that is totally amazing. Amazing. We just don't know who we are. We just don't know who God is in us. And if we knew that stuff, we could unlock the kingdom and all these promises and the will of God for our life. We could unlock that with some confidence, with some amazing efficiency, if we knew that. Verse 12, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise and his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And what does all that mean? It means that the Spirit of God inside of you is the down payment to all of the inheritance that you and I have as sons and daughters of God. And we should be experiencing spiritually our God. We should communicate with him, receive from him. We should be having this amazing relationship that is more real than a relationship we have with any human being. It is the down payment, the inheritance that you and I have throughout all eternity, but we have it today. now, here. Again, that blows away the someday theology. You have it now. You have it now. We have a habitation experience with God, not a visitation experience. You want some deliverance in your life? You just got to know that He's in you now. Do you want to get over the hump and break through that situation? He's in you now. Do you want to break out of poverty and get into the resource that God has for you? He's in you now. Do you need healing in your physical body? He's here now. Do you need to know how to have a great marriage? He's here now. You know, you want answers for your parenting issues? He's here now. Do you want to know what you should do with your life? You're making decisions. What's the next thing? He's present with you now. You don't have to wait for a visitation. You don't have to think it's a mysterious out there. You're never going to find the answer. Just do the best you can. No, your Creator, your God, lives inside of you right now. Right now. No more waiting for a visitation. Let's pray together. Father, we've read a lot of verses. And Lord, it's hard to take it all in. What does this all mean? What am I supposed to do with this information? Holy Spirit, you live in us. Teach us and guide us. We pray application would be made for us by you. Lord, each one of us are in a different station of life right now. We're dealing with different problems. We have different questions. We have different concerns. But this key can unlock so many doors for us. You are with us. You are inside of us. Lord, speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Fill us with your Spirit. Let us truly, truly be the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, we don't want to be just a human being occasionally having spiritual experiences. God, we want to be every day, all day, connected with our Creator who dwells inside of us. All the answers we need are right there. Lord, help us. Lead us, show us, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I pray that for you. I pray as we get through this series that it's going to just grow and grow and grow. Ushers are coming. We're